Here from the Scoreboard.com studios, this is Chase Snyder alongside Gavin Moritz, and welcome to the No Flags podcast presented by Box Score Sports in association with Scoreboard.com. That's Gavin, I'm Chase, and got a lot to talk about today.
A lot of football.
It's very football heavy. Thank goodness it's very football heavy. We got week two of college football, week two of Texas high school football, week one of the NFL. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
Should we start with week one Texas high school football review?
You start with your game from last week. Your game of the week was probably Shadow Creek, Summer Creek. And then you had, the night before, you had Atascocita versus Katie Taylor. Talk about it.
Well, Friday night I had Atascocita versus Katie Taylor. The final score was 69-7 Atascocita. And the quarterback, Bryce Matthews, who we were talking about earlier before the show, 3 touchdown passes, 2 touchdown runs.
He looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good. He's a talented kid. And then Saturday I had Shadow Creek versus Summer Creek, which a lot of people thought, including you and I, was going to be one of the better games that week. Did not turn out that way. Final score was 64-14. Shadow Creek defeated Summer Creek. And then we had the player of the game, the linebacker, C.J. Brown, 2 pick sixes, 2 out of the 3 total defensive touchdowns for the Shadow Creek defense. Mm-hmm. And that's the defense last year that carried them to the state title game.
Right. And they got a loaded defense once again, a loaded offense once again. Going to be a lot of fun. You think they go back to state this year?
They've got a shot.
I think they got a real shot.
But 5A's loaded. You got Foster.
Right.
Who I saw play College Station.
And they beat it good. Not only did they beat them, but they kind of whipped them up front. Yeah. Very good 6A team.
52-14.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible. And my two games last week were probably, I had Friday night, I had New Caney versus Crosby. New Caney looks very good with Zion Childress and C.J. Sanders. They combined for 331 rushing yards, which is once you get that kind of production from your quarterback and your running back, I mean, there's no stopping you. And I was talking to the coaches before the game. They said, you know, there's any type of run in them, this is the year to do it. You know, Childress is a senior, second year starting. Sanders is junior now, and I mean, he's flying now. And they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. Then Thursday night, I had Ridgepoint versus Kingwood, which is actually a really good game. 2 playoff teams from a year ago, and they look like they're going to be playoff teams again. A lot of exciting times here in Texas high school football. But the game of the week last week was Katie North Shore. Were you surprised? Were you surprised at all that Katie went into North Shore and whipped up on them?
On national television.
On national TV, which is pretty impressive.
Well, what surprised me was that we talked about last week that Katie, for once in the history of Katie, they were the other team in the matchup.
They were the other team.
And they went in and they showed us exactly why they weren't the other team. Final score 24-21.
We said that they had nothing to lose and everything to prove. And boy, did they prove that Katie's still kind of the team to beat. And, of course, North Shore is going nowhere. I would expect a rematch once again, like we've gotten the past 2 seasons. I can't wait to watch Friday Katie go to Turner and play Atascocita, your old team.
Yes, our home turf.
Your home turf at Turner Stadium.
I'll be at Turner tomorrow night and Saturday, so Michael Silvers gets
the
Friday night matchup.
Katie Atascocita matchup. What are you expecting from that matchup?
I think it'll be a good game. Last year, it was 21-0 Atascocita near the halftway point in halftime, and then Katie came back and won. I believe the final score was 31-28.
That was at Legacy, too.
That was at Legacy. You're right.
And they played very well playing at that, you know, $70 million stadium where Katie calls home.
Which I got to go to 2 nights in a row last
week. 2 nights in a row. Good for you. I mean, and it was, they treat us well around here. They really do.
It was such a nice stadium. I haven't been there since last year, so I kind of forgot. You know, you don't go to a stadium for so long, and you kind of forget how nice they are.
But yeah,
you go to a place like Legacy, and it just feels like home.
Exactly. And what are the games you have this week?
Tomorrow night, I've got Houston Waltrip at Kingwood Park. That game we played at Turner. Waltrip comes in after losing to Bridgeland week one, 70-17. K-Park comes in after losing to at Angleton, 38-7. So both teams 0-1, both looking for their first win. Mm-hmm. And I expect it to be a fairly decent game.
Yeah, I do too. I got Nederland versus Beaumont United Thursday night. Well, I'll keep a close eye on the Packers-Bears game. And then Friday, I have Austin Westlake versus Cy Ranch. And what a rematch that'll be from last year where Cy Ranch went to Austin and beat Westlake 25-21. Cy Ranch went undefeated last year. until they lost to Westfield in the area round of the playoffs, Black Friday at Thorne. And Westlake, last time they were in the Houston area, they played at Legacy and lost to Beaumont Westbrook in the state semi-round. And looks like both teams are out looking for revenge and trying to avenge themselves from last season. Should be a lot of fun.
And Friday night, I've got Straight Jesuit at Westbrook. So I'll be following your footsteps and going to Beaumont on Friday after you're there Thursday.
Yeah.
So Jesuit comes in at 1-0. They beat St. Thomas Catholic week 1, 28-17. And Westbrook comes in also 1-0. They beat Bel Air last week 56-35.
You know what's funny, too? At Thursday, when I go out to Beaumont, I have to take my sister's boyfriend.
Yes.
He's going to be working the camera for me. And if he screws up, I'm gonna get on him. And this is the first time we've done something like this, where it was just he and I one-on-one. So I look forward to getting on his case a little bit. He has to ride with me 3 hours round trip to Beaumont and back. I don't know what to expect. It should be a lot of fun, though. You don't have a sister, so you don't have to worry about that. You have a brother.
Yep.
Some days I'm pretty jealous of that fact, but you know, I deal with what I get. I deal with it. Should I talk my Chiefs now?
Let's go over our Saturday games.
Okay, go over your Saturday.
Saturday, I've got Aldine at Humble. I'll be back at my home stadium, Turner
Stadium, man.
You third time in the last 2 weeks.
Good for you.
So Aldine comes in after losing at Sci Falls last week 55-6, and Humble comes in after beating Northbrook 55-8.
Get all the free food at Turner Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Very jealous. And Saturday I have Spring versus Cy Woods. It should be a very good game as well. Two playoff teams from a year ago trying to get back on that path towards the playoffs once again. Should be a fun matchup at Pridgen Stadium on Saturday night.
So you brought up stadium food. What's the best stadium food you've ever had?
The best stadium food I've ever had. Formerly Texan Drive, now Randall Reed Stadium, probably has the best food. And
I can agree.
You'd agree with that. All right. I had Texas Roadhouse. I've had Carrabba's all at this place. They spoil you. They really do. And in the back, they have this candy bar.
Oh, yeah.
Bar where you can just where you can pick up any type of candy bar or candy you can imagine. Then at halftime, they serve you milk and cookies.
Yeah, I went there.
That's pretty awesome.
I did a game last year there, and I was sitting in the press box, and I'd already gotten through eating. I think it was Carrabba's. It was some kind of Italian food. It wasn't Olive Garden, though. And
I almost said Olive Garden, but it was Carrabba's.
So I had, I went out in the hallway, and they brought around like the milk and cookies, and it was just like a tray of cookies, and they looked like really nice cookies, and I was like, wow. And they brought out, and it was like a tray of milk with like the carton on like a metal like platter.
They put it in like a, the ice box.
Oh yeah.
Whatever it's called. The ice container. Mm. What you see like a bottle of wine and they put ice in it and they put the bottle of wine in there. That's what they did with the milk. They went all out on this thing. And hopefully I can get over there pretty soon. And because it's not a far drive from where I live and it's not a far drive from where you live.
Right.
And
at Legacy last Friday I had Olive Garden.
I thought, okay, that's kind of an upset. We should talk about that. They usually serve CeCe's. Every single time I've gone to Legacy in Katy, they have served CeCe's pizza.
Well, we had CeCe's the night before.
Of course you did.
When I was there Thursday, we had CeCe's, and I brought my cameraman Brady with me.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, oh, cool, so we get pizza. Like, that's great. We like pizza. And then I was
who doesn't like pizza?
And I was like, wait a minute. We're not having pizza the next night then, which is perfect because I brought my girlfriend with me Friday because she wanted to see Atascocita play, and she actually does not like pizza.
Haven doesn't like pizza?
She likes it. It just makes her... It doesn't agree with her stomach.
Oh, is she lactose intolerant?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
So, we got there.
Interesting.
Was expecting something other than pizza. Was not expecting Olive Garden. Got Olive Garden. Was not disappointed.
I'm very jealous.
But that's probably the second best stadium food I've had. I'd say first is probably at Turner last year at some point. I don't really remember when
Turner's,
it was.
Turner's always got it going. I mean,
it was Longhorn Steakhouse.
Yeah, that's pretty good. On Saturday night, you had Smashburger, didn't you?
It was some like local catering company.
Yeah,
and they gave us burgers. Okay. Pretty good burgers.
Pretty good burgers. the moral of the story is get into what we do and get free food.
Yes.
You don't have to pay to get into the game, and they pay you for it to go into the game. That's what makes our job so fun.
It's the best.
Why it's the best job in the world. All right. What else do we got?
Talk about your Chiefs.
Okay. I'll talk about my Chiefs. Week one, Jacksonville. I don't think Dorian will hit. Chiefs win 34-17. I like the fact that, you know, in the first month of the season, the Chiefs defense, new defense under Spagnuolo, faces Nick Foles week one, Derek Carr week two, Lamar Jackson week three, Stafford week four, Jacoby Brissett week five, and Watson week six. I can go on and on because I know it. But expect some growing pains with this defense. Non-Eagles Nick Foles, who knows what will happen. Who knows? But, you know, I do like the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville and DeFilippo, who is his quarterback coach in Philadelphia. But the weapons scare me to death. I mean, Marquise Lee and D.D. Westbrook are your top two receivers. But to be fair, spoiled in Kansas City with Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins. Most loaded receiving core, running backs, wide receivers. And they added to it with LeSean McCoy this past weekend. I'm intrigued to see that. Let's talk about LeSean McCoy for a second. I think the biggest loser in that thing, I talked about it with some friends today, is Damian Williams.
Oh, yeah.
I think Darwin Thompson will take a larger role by the end of the year. Damian will take a lot of the load early. McCoy will be sprinkled in by the week three or four. And let's face it, he knows the offense inside and out because...
Andy Reid.
Yeah, Andy Reid, yeah. And he knows that offense up and down. And people forget that when Sean McDermott was hired in Buffalo, he comes from the Andy Reid tree, brought over some of Andy Reid's assistants, and that's the same offense they ran. But I cannot wait for this season. I expect the Chiefs to do insane things this year. I expect them to go 14-2, number one seed in the AFC.
Again.
Again, yes. And I honestly think this is the year. This is the year. We've been talking. It's Mahomes week, year three. Mahomes' second year playing in the system. And if I don't see what he did last year as a fluke, I expect him to be even better this year and beyond. The stats, I don't know how good the stats will be. I don't know if he'll hit 50 touchdowns again, but I wouldn't be surprised if he surpasses it because... Oh, boy, that's a lot of speed with Hill and Hardman. And then Conley's gone. He won't have to drop another pass for us.
Right.
Travis Kelce. And I do like these two backup tight ends they have in Yelder and Blake Bell. And you add more speed with Mecole Hardman, it's a joke. I mean, the guy runs a 4.3, and he's like the third or fourth fastest guy on the team behind Watkins, who I hope can be 100%. But that's a big if. And Tyreek Hill. So I had the Chiefs winning 34-17 week one. Frank Clark and Chris Jones is going to be a dominant force early and often. That's my Chiefs spiel. Go ahead, Cowboys. Pretty big news today with the Cowboys, by the way.
Right.
Signing Zeke Elliott to that long-term deal.
I was pleased with that. I mean, we had to get him locked up before the season started for sure. I mean, I trust Dak Prescott. I just don't know how much I trust him without Zeke.
Right.
Because we've seen it before, and it was okay.
Right. But I it's going to be a big year for Dak Prescott. This has got to be the most talented team he's had since his rookie year, right?
Oh, yeah.
He has to go above and beyond this year. He's got Amari, an offseason under his belt, Zeke back. His offensive line is locked and loaded through 2024. He has to... show improvement this year, or would you give him a long term extension?
I wouldn't.
We talked about this before. Would you give him a long term extension?
I'd probably give him roughly what Goff got.
Really? That's a lot of money. Jared Goff got paid yesterday. That is a lot of money. And I can only imagine what Mahomes and Watson are going to get. But
But you look at Dak Prescott, and through his first 3 years, he's got 30-plus wins.
That's true. I mean, the dude wins. QB wins. The dude wins. He's won two out of the three games, right? I mean,
right.
Two-thirds of his games.
And I'll tell you this. More people are going to criticize Dak Prescott just because he plays for the Cowboys than because of his actual gameplay.
This is
That's
true.
How it is. That's the same
this
way it was with Romo.
It's true.
And Tony Romo is my favorite player in Cowboys history. I love him.
I love Tony Romo.
Love Tony Romo.
Love Tony Romo.
Especially now.
Yes. Especially now with the broadcasting. The best and the most exciting broadcaster in sports, really. And you have them beating the Giants on Sunday, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Well, 31-21. That's my score prediction.
I was thinking 28-10.
28-10. I could see that being a blowout too. I mean, Eli is. I think he's lost his last legs. I don't know why they're forcing him out there. Just play Jones. I don't get it. I don't get it whatsoever. It's a waste of time. And you have them winning the division, right?
They may win the division, but right now I have them winning the wild card.
Okay.
Going probably 10-6, 9-7 at worst.
Okay.
Behind the Eagles and the AFC East, obviously. The other two teams aren't
That's a two-team race.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Case Keenum and Eli Manning.
And not that the Eagles have...
Starting for the other two.
Not that the Eagles are, like, just a supremely, like, good team.
Mm-hmm.
But they just have one of the most talented rosters that I've seen in...
Oh, it's deep from top to bottom. It's deep from top to bottom.
But it all depends on how Wentz plays.
Exactly.
And if Wentz can stay
healthy.
Well,
if not only how Wentz plays, like you said, but if he stays healthy. Mm. And they don't have Nick Foles anymore as their saving grace. I mean,
they had Nate Sudfeld, but...
They had Nate Sudfeld, then he got hurt. Then they took Josh McCown out of the studio.
Right.
Like, in the middle of August. They have to have... Wentz healthy, man. That's all there is to it.
What else am I excited for with the Cowboys? We got rid of Terrence Williams. I will openly
you have tell another you, receiver that doesn't drop passes. That's good.
I will openly tell you that I'll just say professionally, not a Terrence Williams fan.
I wasn't much of a Terrence Williams fan either as a football watcher. Week one against the Giants rings a bell, 2016, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Just get out of bounds.
Just get out.
That's my favorite part of the Brad Sham call. He was just literally yelling from the booth, get out of bounds. For some reason, he cut it upfield with 10 seconds left.
No timeouts.
And no timeouts, and the clock ran out.
I remember
stupid.
That vividly. I have war flashbacks.
You probably do. You probably do remember it like it was yesterday. But they still went on to win the division, and they got the number one seed, so it really didn't matter in the end. But still, very dumb, stupid play. And I'm happy for you that Terrence Williams is no longer there.
I'm excited with, even though we lost some pieces, we lost Cole Beasley. That's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Cole Beasley was probably
my
favorite.
Buffalo now. That's crazy.
Probably one of my favorite Cowboys players of all time. It's probably him, Romo, and Dion.
Dude's just so tough.
Cole Beasley.
Gritty football player.
Grit.
Yeah. We know why. Yeah.
Yes.
Go on.
Can't say why, but we know why.
Yeah, everyone knows why. Go on.
But I'm excited with some of the pieces that we brought in. We bring in Michael Gallup, who I know you've seen.
Michael Gallup's a good football player.
He is a good football player, and I think he's a good number two receiver to Amari Cooper.
I'm excited to see what Dak does with both of them. Oh, what are we... You're not talking about Jason Witten.
I was gonna bring up Jason Witten, and then I thought about it, and I was like, do I really want to bring up...
Is he the most irrelevant player to come out of retirement ever? Like, big time player, big name player to come out of retirement?
Would it be more exciting if he was good in the booth? Or would it make this less exciting?
I would say it kind of seems like a last resort for Jason Witten, because I think everyone realized, like, oh, crap. He's not Tony Romo. And what these players fail to understand is that you just can't dive headfirst into the booth without knowing what you're doing.
Especially as a color guy.
Especially as a color guy.
Color is the hardest part of the job.
Exactly. And the thing about Romo is Romo got it immediately. And that's what makes him the best color guy today. And it won't shock me when he's considered the best color guy ever. He still needs some longevity because that's Madden's title right now.
Right.
But today, there's no one close, in my opinion. And, and you're a Cowboys fan. You don't like Troy Aikman.
I don't like Troy Aikman.
Why don't you like Troy Aikman?
I liked Troy Aikman. I like Troy Aikman as a Cowboy, but
of course, before you were born, but yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You learn the history of the game. You like Len Dawson.
Yeah. Who doesn't love Len Dawson? By the way, my phone background is Len Dawson in the locker room.
With a cigarette.
Which is even worse. With a cigarette at halftime of Super Bowl I with a Fresca. Everyone knows what I'm talking. It's the most iconic photo in Chiefs history. But yeah, go on about Troy Aikman.
I don't know. It's nothing personal. I'm just not.
Does he just bore you? Is that what it is?
He's boring, and but I'd rather him be boring than obnoxious, like Skip Bayless.
Another Dallas proud.
I don't claim Skip Bayless as a Cowboys fan. Yeah.
He said something stupid today about the Chiefs.
Wait, Skip said something stupid?
Yeah, right. I should have just stopped there. He said something stupid about the Chiefs. I didn't even pay attention to it because it's clickbait, but, you know, whatever. And now I think it's a you're done with the Cowboys? You covered everything?
One more piece. Go ahead. They're still working Zeke in, you know, getting 25 touches a game, mm-hmm. Tony Pollard's going to come in and...
I actually saw a pretty good point. Would you have still paid Zeke without knowing what Tony Pollard would have looked like in the regular season?
I think so.
You really would have? Okay. I still haven't seen the structure of the contract to see when they can get out of it because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, 6 years is a long time.
He's hitting 30 in about 6 years.
Exactly. And maybe even shorter than that.
Right.
And, you know, with these six-year contracts, they usually get out of it after a couple years, 3 years. And he's getting $50 million guaranteed. Good for him. I'll have to look into that. And it's a perfect segue. Perfect. Segue into the Texans.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. This was a big discussion in this city. We're not Texans fans.
Nope.
But it was a big discussion Saturday. Let's go in chronological order. First, the Clowney trade.
Which... they got...
they got nothing.
They got a bag of chips.
They really did. They got Barkevious Mingo. I forget the second player. And they got a third-round pick.
I forgot that Barkevious Mingo was even...
I did, too. I had no idea he was still in the league. Speaking of which, the 2013 draft...
oh.
Bad. All-time bad.
Hashtag bad.
Hashtag bad. All-time bad. When Eric Fisher is the number one pick in the draft, and he's not considered a bust... That's all time bad. I mean, he's all right. He's a good player. He still starts, but like, he's not number one material. And I think the Chiefs admit that, and they would have admitted it then. They admit it now.
I mean, forget about the quarterbacks from 2013 draft. The one first round quarterback who was
EJ Manuel,
Geno Smith in the second round.
What a waste of a draft.
I forgot about EJ Manuel until we started talking about the 2013 draft.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's a memory that I've tried to repress.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit. But with the Clowney situation, both sides handled it poorly from the start. I don't blame the Texans wanting to get out of that Clowney deal because, frankly, I think he's kind of overrated. And... the biggest moment last year, the reason why he's overrated was because of my dog wants outside right now. Because of course he does. You can hear the bells in the background. But it was 3rd and 3 for the Colts in the fourth quarter, up by 3, I think. Mm. All the Texans need to do is stop and they get the football back. Clowney lines up offsides. Now offsides has turned into a trigger word for me because of D Ford. Listen, D Ford, Jadeveon Clowney, both from the 2014 draft class, by the way.
Both no longer with their drafting
team. But let's be fair, Khalil Mack isn't either.
That's true.
And that guy is pretty good.
But Khalil Mack's also the second best defensive player in the league.
But hey... John Gruden doesn't want high character guys on his football team. He'd rather take on Antonio Brown.
He'd rather have nightmares.
That's what he's into. That's what he said. He's into effing nightmares, man. Knock on wood if you're with me. There we go. Perfect. Knock on wood if you're with me. But Speaking of which, 55 grand for Antonio Brown. Bless his heart.
For just not showing up.
For just not showing up. I mean, what a shock. You get fined for not showing up to work. And 55 grand, I know it's a lot of money, but for Antonio Brown, it's like 10 bucks to you and
right.
I. Come on, dude. Just pay the fine. And show up to work. It's not that hard. But I don't blame the Texans for wanting to get out of the Clowney situation. They should have done it earlier. Basically, the only thing we heard about the Texans wanting to get rid of Clowney before this past month was they called Kansas City. And they were like, please take Jadeveon Clowney off our hands. And Brett Veach said, no, we're already into this guy named Frank Clark.
Right.
He's pretty darn good.
And they got from the Seahawks.
Exactly. I was reading that they expect Frank Clark to be the second best edge rusher in the league behind Khalil Mack. And that's pretty high praise.
That's saying something.
That's saying a lot. And, you know, Clark in each of his first three seasons had 10-plus sacks. I mean, dude's had a remarkable career so far. Hopefully he has an even better career in Kansas City, but we'll see.
Let's talk about Tunzel.
Yeah, we were going to talk about that. In summary, Clowney trade bad. The Tunzel trade is more of a mixed bag. What do you think?
Well,
they gave up a lot. They gave up two firsts and a second for Tunzel and Kenny Stills, but the main part is Tunzel.
I mean, Kenny Stills is just a better version of Will Fuller.
I agree with that. But he's listed as the backup now.
Unfortunately.
I think he'll get up on the
roster. He'll work his way up there.
Yeah. I mean, Will Fuller is bound to get hurt at some point.
I don't agree with the Texans giving up their entire farm just to get a franchise left tackle. I agree with getting a franchise left tackle, but I feel like
they
give up too much.
They had to protect Deshaun.
That's true. You can't have him get hurt again.
No, they can't. And this is their franchise.
Who's their backup, Joe Webb?
I think it is
Joe Webb. Is Joe Webb.
Oh, man. That is that's some bad stuff.
What are you going to do? Like, if Deshaun gets hurt, what do you do? Do you go with Joe Webb, or do you try to call Romo out of the booth?
What do you do? It's the best thing I can think of. Yeah, it's a mess behind Deshaun Watson, and they had to protect him up front. He took way too many sacks last year. He was sacked over 60 times. It's just not going to work, especially with a quarterback like Deshaun who likes to run around, make some plays. And I will say this for Deshaun. I think he's going to have a fantastic year, and the reason why he's not being talked about more is because of Mahomes, who played out of his mind for his rookie season.
Right.
And let's not forget, Deshaun played out of his mind his real rookie season with 18 touchdowns.
Before he got hurt.
Yeah, before he got hurt. And what's funny, too, about that, I was talking about it with some Houston sports fans. Astros won the World Series on November 1st. November 2nd, Deshaun Watson tears his ACL in practice. Poor Houston sports fans. They should... They'll win the World Series this year, but
yeah.
They'll be...
Houston sports giveth and Houston sports taketh away.
Pretty much. I hope Deshaun can stay healthy this year, though, all kidding aside. I mean, because he's so good for the league and he's so fun to watch.
And then you've got Hopkins.
You got Hopkins and you have...
An aging J.J. Watt.
Aging J.J. Watt. He's going to have to play well. It's up to Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt. Those are your defensive leaders.
I like McKinney,
and Barkevius Mingo.
Yes, of course.
McKinney's a good player, too.
McKinney is a good player.
But the biggest question is their secondary.
Oh, yeah.
How well will Bradley Roby play? Jonathan Joseph's getting up there in age.
Deshaun Gibson.
I did like that signing, though, Deshaun Gibson.
That was good. Good veteran presence.
Yeah, good veteran presence coming over from Jacksonville. Knows the division. It's going to be very interesting to see the Texans. I personally loved the Tunzel trade. I don't care how much they gave up. Yeah, was it hefty? Did they have to do it? Yeah, they did. That's just my opinion. You guys have been talking about it all offseason long, that they had to get protection up front. And then they got the best guy available, and you guys are still complaining. I don't get it. It's okay to criticize them when they did something bad like Clowney. And it's okay to give them credit when they do something well with... I thought they did it well with Tunzel. A little too hefty, but, you know, sometimes you have to overpay. Sometimes you have to overpay for what you need.
It'll pay off in the long run.
I agree. I agree. It's a franchise left tackle for a franchise quarterback. And that'll take us to college, the game of the week, LSU-UT. I expect LSU to blow them out.
Really?
I really do. I really do. I think they go into Austin and whip them up.
Really?
I really do. I expect them to pound the football, and Joe Burrow looked pretty good week one.
He did.
How well he will play in week two on the road in Austin, I'm not sure. But this is Coach O's best team he's had in a while. This is LSU's best team they've had in a while. And I expect them to win by two possessions. What do you think?
I think LSU wins. Don't tell Brady I said that. No. Our cameraman Brady Sparks. One of the bigger UT fans.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm sure he's listening, though.
Right. I think LSU wins, but I think it's a little bit closer of a game. I wouldn't count out Ellinger to make it a good ball game.
Your boy, Sam Ellinger.
My boy, Sam Ellinger.
Speaking of Austin Westlake, it's the game of the week I have.
It is.
It all comes full circle. I can't wait for that. You can't wait for your games this upcoming weekend.
It's true.
Enjoy the football, man. It's about time we got here. And I'm Chase Snyder alongside Gavin. You'll take us out.
That'll do it here on episode 2 of the No Flags podcast presented by Box Score Sports. A special thank you to everyone who made this production possible, Box Score Sports, scoreboard.com, and our producer, Jordan Smith. Signing off, I'm Gavin Moritz alongside Chase Snyder. Thank you.